many of us don't recognize fully, I think, the picture Jesus gives in John 15 about the Father being the vine dresser and Jesus himself being the vine, and that we are part of the vine with Christ. We are in Christ and he is in us. And this has some very, very powerful pictures. If any of you have ever gone into an actual vineyard and helped with the grape harvest, this becomes more alive what I'm about to talk about. First of all, it's interesting that grapes grow in clusters. So off of the main vine, grapes grow in clusters. That's the family. So usually there's one stem coming off of the vine, and then the clusters kind of grow off of that. That's a picture of the family. The other picture that is just fascinating to me is this idea that when we remain in Christ, we are alive. Apart from Christ and his word, we begin to dry up, but that actually takes time to dry up, and then eventually that's burned up in the fire. The other picture is that the pruning is the pruning of a live branch. And if you talk to any vintner, they will tell you that the reason you're cutting the live branches that don't have clusters is so that all of the life that is in the vine goes into where the clusters are. That's the point of pruning. So sometimes it's a perfectly viable branch that is cut as part of the pruning process. The other picture that is very interesting is the Father who is the vine dresser. In other words, he is the one who is moving the vine. Vine dressers will move the vine into the right direction. So I think a lot of us feel like, you know, we're growing, but are we headed in the wrong direction? It's okay. Daddy will correct that vine, that branch, will correct it, put it into the right direction. You just keep growing. The other fascinating picture of this is that to grow, they need sunlight. And grapes actually that are more in the shade actually don't grow as much as the ones that are actually in the sunlight. So that sunlight, if the word is coming through the vine, the sunlight is the presence of God, the light of the Lord illuminating our lives, being in the presence of the Lord. And that helps us to grow. Here's the other great picture of this. So we celebrate communion. The blood of Christ is symbolized by wine. The outpouring actually of Holy Spirit is symbolized by the wine going into the wineskins, and you can't have old wineskins to hold the wine. You have to have new wineskins that are able to stretch so that the wine can fill it without breaking. I don't know, many of you probably haven't realized this, but this picture of a grape coming off of the vine, quite literally, this wine is coming directly into the wineskin, us. And that's a picture of us being in the vine with Jesus. And the fruits of the Spirit, we actually celebrate with Christ the third cup during this resurrection week. The third cup is the cup of redemption in the Passover meal. Then there's another cup after that that we drink with Jesus in heaven. And the fruit that is born turns into wine. It is wine. It's already in the fruit. Fruits of the Spirit, it is wine, and it's coming through God's word and his presence in our lives. And then how the cluster grows, the family grows too. So there is a fruit that we can realize in our lives, being abiding in him and him in us. This picture is what we need for the times that we're in. We need to abide in him, him in us, and we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit. Daddy is going to correct the direction sometimes. He's the vine dresser. He's going to move the vine to where it needs to be. He's going to make sure it's pruned where it needs to be pruned. We just need to be receptive to all of that and trust God that he is the great vine dresser putting us in the right direction. Well, that brings me now to your daily intelligence briefing. There is a ton happening right now. I am going to go, and if we can, Travis, if you could pull up Euromaidan Press for those that are joining us online. I can't see it on the screen in front, but that's okay. I want to talk a little bit about the map that's on here of where the Russian advances currently are. And also talk a little bit about something that happened. It's been reported by several open source intelligence groups, and that includes Alert USA, and then there's another open source intelligence group that we're using as well. But there was something disturbing I saw on this yesterday. So we're going to talk quickly about this. Yesterday, on the international front, there was a report that was very disturbing. And then today, you have more information coming out in regards to Russia and Iran. So I'm going to talk about these kind of almost in a little bit of reverse order. A Guardian report claims that Russia is using weapons provided by Iran and Iraq. Another report says this. Yesterday, 220,000. So this is not an insignificant number. This is what you would look for a city. 220,000. Atropine, and I don't know if anybody knows what atropine is, but atropine injectors were reportedly sent across the border to Ukraine. Why is this a big deal? Well, because today there's a report of a chemical weapons attack in Mariupol. Now, we're going to get to this all here in a second. But this, from open source intelligence, this report of 220,000 atropine injectors the day before a chemical attack is very suspicious timing indeed. That said, today what's being reported is a chemical weapons attack in Mariupol, Ukraine. The part about this that I want you to really pay attention to is that the chemical weapons attack has not really been confirmed. It's just reported right now. So Alerts USA, several other places are reporting this. And also President Zelensky was alluding to it, although it's not confirmed. I bring this up because don't get distracted that somebody did something. This might be a false flag. Da, da, da. Candidly, honestly, that's almost irrelevant right now. Whatever happened is not as relevant as whether they will use this as an excuse for the United States to physically intervene with troops in Ukraine. Today, open source intelligence is saying also that the U.S. has given Ukraine 7,000 Javelin anti-tank guided missiles, which is one-third of the U.S. supply. One-third of the U.S. supply. The U.S. has also provided 2,000 Stingers, which is one-quarter of the U.S. supply, and will take around 5 years to replace. I want you to hear that again. 5 years to replace. Putin, while discussing a confrontation with the West, says, quote, time will put everything in its proper place. Putin also stated that rising inflationary pressures in the West will put pressure on politicians there. Today it was announced that inflation is about 8.5% above expectations, but in a place where they think it's going to put pressure on the West. Look, this is all part of a plan, so this isn't going to put pressure on anybody to weaken the United States. I want to focus on the next thing on open source intelligence, which says this. Today, Azov released a message showing injured soldiers and claiming they heard an explosion and saw white fog. Three soldiers in total are claimed to have suffered some difficulty breathing, but have since recovered. Azov Battalion in Mariupol claimed that Russia had used chemical weapons against its positions yesterday, a claim which U.S. intelligence could not verify. This is the objective reporting on this. It's been reported, but again, don't get caught up in, is this a false flag? Is it not a false flag? Candidly, that's irrelevant. Are they going to try to use this as an excuse for the United States to intervene in World War III? Now, today on Forward Observer, they reported that NATO prepares for war. All right. And I agree with that. That's exactly what's happening. It looks very clear that Finland and Sweden will join NATO as early as this summer. As early as this summer. So, how do we, as Americans, view this? I'm just going to be really simple about this. Okay. Inflation is at 8.5%. The specter of world war is looming. We, therefore, should be prepared for what's coming. And if you have not stocked up some food for a year, hopefully two, and you've been listening to this show, you're wrong. Get prepared. Clearly, something is in the offing. Clearly, it looks like it's going to happen before, or maybe even at the beginning of October of this year, prior to the elections. Something very, very big, world-changing, history-changing is going to happen. Now, here at Patriot Radio, you can look back at the old shows. You can hear Jack Decker. You can hear General Valley. You can hear Glenn Tate. You can hear all of us talking about these things years and years in advance. Now we're here. War started right after the Olympics, like we talked about. China is now held back based on what's happening in Ukraine. And I'm going to take a very quick diversion and talk about what is actually happening in Ukraine. Travis, if we could pull the map up under the April 12th update. There's a map under there. It shows where everything is in Ukraine right now as far as Russian forces are concerned. And I want to talk about what's about to happen here in the next week or so. Probably on a Monday, because Putin likes to do things on a Monday, just like the jihadis do. He likes to, on a Monday, do an attack. And the reason is because it gets into the media cycle in the Western media. So he understands Western media. So it's like late Sunday, early Monday, he does stuff. So right now, Russian forces are now completely out of the north central Sumy areas north of Kiev. They're gone. The Ukrainian military has driven the Russians back out of Mykolaiv down toward Kherson City. And there's big battles down there in the south of Kherson City. Now, why is it important, Kherson City, and understanding geography? It's because if you look on this map, and I hope we got, there we go. All right. If you look on this map, you will notice that Crimea does not have a land bridge unless the Russians come through Mariupol, down through Berdyansk, right near Melitopol, all the way down to Crimea. They want to build a land bridge there. And so the Ukrainian forces are trying to drive the Russians back across the Dnieper River. You'll see where they've driven the Russians now out of Mykolaiv and then down near Kherson City. So it looks very clear like the Ukrainian army is going to win there and drive the Russians back across the Dnieper River. Now, the Russians, for their part, their original strategy was to occupy eastern Ukraine to the Dnieper River. If you look up where Kyiv is, you can see the Dnieper River coming down kind of at an angle toward the southeast, and then toward Dnipro, coming down south to Zaporozhye, and then curving kind of back around toward Kherson City. So you know where the Dnieper River is. That's where the Russians really want to have a geographic buffer boundary. Now that Putin has been shown to be dishonest in the reports on Russian casualties, number one, and dishonest in what the Russian objectives really were. The Russian objectives, it was a lie. They were not to denazify and demilitarize Ukraine. He said and wrote in an article last July very clearly what he wanted to do. He wanted to take over Ukraine because he thought he was liberating them. And if you talk to a lot of Russians, even to this day, they will say this. Saying that they share the same culture, the same language, the same government, history, all these kind of things. Similar words to what Stalin used and what Hitler used during World War II to justify occupying these lands. There's a great article by a Finnish colonel out there who's now retired. Talks about the Russian mindset. I'm going to post that up online because a lot of people have been asking me about this. But what's really weird is a lot of Christian patriots don't realize that Ukraine had one of, if not the largest, Protestant Christian population in Europe. And there had been revival there over the last 3 and 4 years. What's interesting to me is it seems like somebody in the West said, hey, Putin, go ahead. We're going to give you the green light. Go ahead and invade. But it's like they only gave him like 5 days to consummate all this. It didn't work. Now they're acting like they're against him. But the real loser was the Christian church and the people of Ukraine in the sense of bloodshed. And then I still hear people saying, oh, you know, there's Nazis in the Ukrainian military. Nazis here. Nah. Do you realize you sound like Sean Vestal at the Socialist Review? And we're going to speak life over the Socialist Review, that is going to become now a paper of truth, paper of freedom in Jesus' name. But you sound like it when you talk like that. It's just not true. The Ukrainian military was actually getting rid of those elements, which were extremely small, by the way, prior to this whole invasion happening anyway. This is the same rhetoric, literally the same rhetoric that Stalin used against guys like Stepan Bandera and other Ukrainian patriots who fought against the Russians at the end of World War II. Because they fought on the side of the Germans, everybody began labeling them that way, even though it's far more complicated than that, because Stepan Bandera, Pavel Shandruk, and others, Small Stocky, others, came to U.S. counterintelligence and began to warn U.S. counterintelligence about the infiltration of KGB agents, it was NKVD at that time, but Soviet agents into the Roosevelt administration. And now we know as a matter of historic fact, thanks to the Matroikan archives and thanks to the Venona transcripts, that there were 329 confirmed Soviet agents in the Roosevelt administration. And the warning came from, among others, Ukrainian patriots like Stepan Bandera and Pavel Shandruk. You can read about this in the book Target Patton by Robert Wilcox and see for yourself. But the fact of the matter is they actually tried to warn us against the communist infiltration toward the end of World War II. Now you have Putin using this rhetoric, even though he wrote in an article last July that he wanted to invade Ukraine for cultural, religious, heritage reasons, not because of denazification and not because of demilitarization. So you have two totally contradictory narratives. And what's really interesting to me is people think Putin is somehow Christian, even though there was a massive infiltration of the KGB into the Orthodox Church, which resulted in a split in 1963 in Ukraine between the confessing church and the state church that had been infiltrated by the KGB. The other part of this, too, I really want to hit again, and I've talked about this on the show ad nauseum, but people seem not to be getting the message. Putin is directly tied to the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. In fact, he gave Klaus Schwab commendations, complimentary remarks. And it's like this never happened. So if you want to see the article by Cliff Kincaid on American Thinker, go check it out, where he outlines Putin's quotes at this point. Here's what I do know. There were very robust Christian churches in Ukraine. I was there 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we saw the revival. So you have Christian churches in Ukraine. You've got a people that wants to fight for their own freedom, and they have a right of self-defense. And everybody's like, ah, look, if you want to side on this, take the side of the people who want to live free. That's the side we always take as Americans. Want to move next quickly to a couple other things that are going on right now. If this chemical attack ends up being validated, whatever that means, this likely will be used as an excuse for NATO to intervene. I'm not going to get into, is it a false flag? Isn't it? Because again, it is almost irrelevant at this point. History will figure that out, right? We'll know eventually. But it doesn't matter right now. What matters is NATO going to get involved? Because then that means a broader war, and that has massive implications for us back here at home. I want to briefly talk about one other thing here on open source intelligence. U.S. has stated it has delivered a significant amount of Switchblade drones to Ukraine. We are testing right now. Drone warfare with Ukraine is the proxy to see how effective it is. This just is pointing, I'm telling you, everybody, this is pointing toward a broader war, whether that's 2 months from now or 2 years from now. It is pointing toward a broader war. And the Russians, let me back up. Economics precedes war. The Russians right now have tied their ruble to gold. French bank Societe Generale has said that they will sell Rosbank and will cease banking and insurance activities in Russia. We already have economic warfare from both sides happening right now. And the Russians had already prepared for this. They had deals with China to offset and mitigate. They're going to a gold standard. This is all happening right now. But what it's showing is that the world is already dividing up for World War III. That's what it's showing. And that's what we need to be paying attention to here, because now I know that. Now we can prepare for it. What are we going to do? Last part of this that I'll mention, Poland, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania have stated their desire for significantly more NATO troops. They want to turn battalions into brigades. So you're talking the difference between 700 troops and 7,000 troops. Okay, they want to have far more American and NATO troops there, which again is pointing toward NATO preparing for war. All right, we're going to go next quickly to Debka file. Man in gas mask shoots 16 in Brooklyn subway, rush hour attack. 5 of the gunshot victims were critically injured. He was wearing a green construction vest. Tossed a smoke canister. The last report I had is that he was still at large. That may have changed here right before the show. But remember, this is Ramadan. Remember, attacks by jihadis increased during Ramadan. in Israel and in the United States, okay? And in Europe. This should be a surprise for anybody. But we need to keep our eyes and ears open. Last thing that I want to talk about on the international front is this. The West indulges Putin derangement syndrome, and I find that kind of a little bit fascinating because Putin's a communist, and so, yeah, we should really understand that communists are our enemies. China delivers science fiction like COVID dystopia. So China is locking down Shanghai to the point people are saying they're starving. We need to realize that China and Russia are on the same side of the coin, that they are operating together, that the powers that be want to use both of them to start World War III, and out of World War III, they will try to implement a global government, just like they did after every world war. World War I, League of Nations, World War II, United Nations. And we as Christians have this discernment point. Article 1 of the United Nations Charter says peace and security, right in the first sentence, first few words, actually. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, those who say peace and security, we know that they're on the other side, right? We know that they're under the influence of evil. So we know that there are powers that be that want to see a world war happen so that a global governance can be ushered in. Just like the last world war, Ukrainian patriots fighting on the side of freedom and liberty, end of World War II, against the communists. Okay. What I think is missing from this whole picture is people who say we shouldn't be worried about over there, we should be worried about the deep state at home, when they don't really see that the fight is with the same network of people. They're fighting amongst themselves. Globalists are fighting amongst themselves. And some people say, well, Putin's not a globalist. Okay, he's a communist. Fine. If communists and globalists fighting amongst themselves for who can take over. And we need to be focused, ready, willing, able to defend freedom and liberty for all people and to cheer those on who are fighting for freedom and liberty, regardless of where it is in the world. But just like the last world war, I find it fascinating that the Ukrainians once again are on the forefront of this fight. And people are missing history, completely missing history. And it's as if Putin is not tied to the World Economic Forum. It's as if Putin is not a former KGB agent who has the head of the Orthodox Church, also very likely a KGB agent, former, present, doesn't even matter, close ally of Putin. Putin's put it out there. The globalists have put it out there. And people back home are saying, don't worry about that over there. We've got to fight against it. Look, the war is already here. It's already happening. We already have economic warfare, trade warfare, cyber warfare, financial warfare. We have information warfare. We have political warfare. I mean, we have virtually every battlefield that the Chinese in the pamphlet, book, whatever you want to call it, Unrestricted Warfare, laid out as battlefield. We already have fights in every arena. Fights already here. So we need to be prepared for it right now. We're acting as if we can just wish the wolf away from the door. And if we just let what happens in Ukraine stay there, there's just going to be peace around. You don't understand. They're trying to drag all of us in here to World War III. And we're acting like all of this is a distraction. As Americans, we must be prepared and we must be ready to stand for freedom and liberty and give encouragement. In other words, by our own actions, encourage those around the world to be ready to stand and to ignore the mainstream media attacks on people here at home and focus and I'm going to stop here for a second. I find it so fascinating that people will listen to the mainstream media, and I'm including some conservative commentators here right now. They will listen to them use the same talking points that the left uses in America, but only it's over in Ukraine. And they use the same talking points to attack us back here at home. And you're citing that as a source. Stop listening to it. We need here to realize, as patriots, as Christians, that the left, the lying corporate media, is going to say things against people here in America. And if they are, we probably should side with those people that they're attacking, not listen to them, and prepare for the broader thing that's about to happen. I have run into so many people scared, I mean, out of a spirit of fear, scared of the corporate media and what they say. Oh, they said such and such are. Look, they lie all the time. They don't do their research. They don't even realize a lot of things. They're so ignorant. And so all you have to do is just not say anything. Just wait and watch them walk into traps. Just wait. You don't need to respond to it. Pay attention to what is important now. What are God's priorities for you right now? Being prepared, making sure your family is prepared, building up and edifying the body of Christ, and being ready to love your neighbor in this crisis that's coming. And in many respects, actually, is already here. Oh, but Matt, on the national front, the Washington Times is talking about Disney execs leaking videos to boost all this radical agenda. I know. We've been talking about this for 12 years. Where have you been? What about election integrity? Yeah, I agree. Important. Very important. Super important. Where were you 5 years ago running for a precinct committee officer? This is one of the key reasons for a precinct committee officer constitutionally and legally used to be election integrity. In addition to the constitutional duties of selecting candidates for appointments. It all comes back to what are we doing here in our family locally, but not ignoring what's going on there, but recognizing this is signs of a season and a time of what is happening in a broader scope. Not being ignorant to that and not trying to parrot, but actually be hawks sitting, waiting, observing. Then the Lord tells us to move, we move for his glory and honor and praise. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody who has been praying for us and thinking about us. Right now, I just am so grateful. Victoria is so grateful as well that we have so many people out there supporting us. It's been awesome. God bless you guys for that. And we just are honored to serve, honored to just be in the fight with all of you for our republic and for our posterity. And to be able to spread the gospel and really spread the love of Jesus Christ, not only in our own community, but throughout the world. All right, remember to go. If you absolutely have to, you can go to Facebook. And you can look up Patriot Radio, like the page, share with your friends and family. Or better, you can go to Gab, MeWe, Getter, and all of the alternative sites. We're on there as well. They're really not alternative. They're actually the true media sites. Go there, follow us on there. And we are also broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 9 o'clock. And we are now going to be broadcast on Saturday as well, rebroadcast of the shows during the week. Across the entire ACN network, 106.5 here in Spokane, AM 1050 across the Palouse and beyond. Now, there's other stations for Yakima and Wenatchee. You can look those up online. We typically post that on Podbean with the podcast. Share the podcast with your friends. We thank you to everybody that has been doing that. It's been incredible. You can also follow us, besides on Podbean, you can follow us on Spotify, Amazon, and iTunes. All right. It is my honor to introduce a great friend of mine, somebody that's been in the fight for so many years, one of the bravest ladies I know, Washington State native, Carrie Brandt. She's a retired 20-year Navy veteran of the United States Navy and has been active in her community volunteering for various organizations from the March for Dimes and Lung Association to Habitat for Humanity and local bereavement and civics groups. She has degrees in forensics. She's been a paralegal, bachelor's degree in government from Regent University. But most of all, she is a patriot and a wonderful human being and a Christian. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Thanks, Matt. I'm so happy you're back in one piece and safe and sound. I always worry about you when you go overseas, but I'm so glad that you're back. I'm thrilled to be here and talking with you.
It's great to have you back on. You've been in the fight for a long time. Now you're on, I mean, you're like a glutton for punishment in some respects. You're on the King County, Washington State Republican Executive Boards. You're chair for the 33rd Legislative District. Wow. Washington is getting
a little
crazy. Yeah, you're a little busy. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what do we need to know about what's going on in Washington State?
Well, I think, first of all, after hearing the statistic that 900,000 Christians in Washington State are not voting, the first thing you need to do is go register to vote. That's the first thing. It's not the only thing, but that's the minimum you should be doing. I did that when I was 18. The minute I turned 18, I went and registered because I believe that as a Christian, as an American, it's your duty to vote. It's not an option. It's your duty. Too many people died for our right to have this republic. So basically, get in and vote. And the second thing you can do, if you really want to get involved and keep, you know, at least one party close to the Constitution, is get involved as you said, a precinct committee officer. And if anyone needs help doing that, they can call me. My number is 253-951-3721, and I will help you get involved. I did move to King County, the belly of the beast, and I'm a fighter, so it doesn't scare me. And I think for too many times, people in King County have been afraid to say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a conservative, or I'm a Republican. They've been afraid, and I'm not afraid, because what's the worst they can do? Kill me? I mean, if they do, I know where I'm going, so I'm out there fighting. And I encourage everyone to be out there and fight for your values and fight for your right to speak and do what you need to do to help this country and this state, because it is crazy. And I know in the scheme of things, you know, when you were talking about what's going on in the world, you know, maybe some of this seems kind of insignificant, but this is the first battlefield, and we have to take care of home first. You know, we got to take care of our minds, we got to take care of our bodies, and we have to be prepared for the fight. And that's why, you know, when the Bible says put on the whole armor, you don't go into battle like, you know, you're a veteran, I'm a veteran. You never go into battle in your boxers, right? You go in with your helmet and your you know, weapon and your Kevlar. You don't go into battle unprepared without a battle plan. And too many times, you know, we're just busy trying to take care of our families and doing our jobs that we don't think about the battle that we're in. And before you go into battle, you got to be prayed up. You know, just like when we did World War II, the Navy went and softened the beachhead by bombing the crap out of it. You know, you soften up the beachhead, and that's how you do it with prayer. You soften up the beachhead, and then the warriors go in and they fight that battle. So if you can't do anything, if you can't get out and talk to your neighbors, at least pray for people who are out there in the fight.
Absolutely. I think we can all be involved, but I just like the idea that we aren't just praying. We're always, always moving into action. And right now, this last year in the Washington State legislature was horrible. And what's interesting is, to me, we saw a lot of this legislation introduced 2010, 2012, 2014. And people said back then, I remember this, because they're like, come on, Matt, you're blowing things out of proportion. They don't really want to pass this. You're just fear mongering, right? And now here we are. They've actually passed more gun control and done all kinds of other stuff. Yep. Tell the listeners a little bit about what's happening on that front.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's always a conspiracy until it's not, right?
Right.
I think the left really projects what they're going to do. So we knew this from the very beginning. And those of us who tried to warn people got poo-pooed and shut down and shut up. And I'm just hoping that people now will realize that when we who are in the fight try to warn you, then just take a look at it objectively and say, is there any merit to this? Because I can't even describe the disgust I feel for the public cesspools. I mean, public school. I would never, if my daughter were alive today, I would never have her in public school. I would homeschool her or get her into a Christian public private school. But even the public school, even the private schools and the Christian schools are now falling under some of these crazy laws that are being passed. And those laws are being passed because we don't have a majority of principled platform Republicans, not just people who have an R after their names, because there's, you know, as you and I know, Matt, there's a lot of them that have an R after their name that we kind of look at and say, really? And we've got to get a majority, or at least close to majority, so the left can't just run roughshod over us. And they have to come to the middle.
I find it fascinating right now that we're having this big argument over Putin and everything. Putin was tied with the WEF until the WEF basically banned him from the Great Reset, which I find very interesting. And now, you know, on the other side, we've got all the globalists there trying to do everything they can to undermine a weakened United States prior to World War III. A lot of people are like, and this is so big, what do we do? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really kind of, I think it's confusing for a lot of people because, you know, we're not over there and we're so used to being lied to by the media that I think a lot of conservatives have kind of fallen into this trap. They don't know which side to be on. They want to stand with their Ukrainian friends, but they're not really sure what the truth is because if they do, then they're called a Putin stooge. If they don't, then they're, you know, they're genocidal. I mean, all these names that get thrown around, we like to call that label lynching, and it shuts people up.
Yep.
So I actually worked with my good friend, Vitaly Pikotin, and we came up with a resolution that I'm going to try and get passed at the state level at the Republican Party. Now, it's just a resolution. It's just a piece of paper. But I think it will be good to give Republicans a direction of, this is what we stand for. This is what we believe. And that way Republicans will be able to look at that and say, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I believe that. And like when I talked with you, Matt, we talked about this and you said, you know, Putin was a KGB agent and I've always been anti-communist way back in the day when Reagan was president. When I found out what communism was, I was like, that is not for me. And I never want it here in America. So, I will never stand with somebody who is communist. So it will help to have people that know more about it to give us some direction. And like I said, because we've been lied to so many times by the media and there's so much propaganda out there. And, you know, China and Russia, they have divisions of cyber warriors that just sit in rooms and troll. And, you know, they have bot divisions and it's crazy to think that, but they really do. And they are manipulating public opinion. And as Andrew Breit, you know, in the culture, and as Andrew Breitbart said, you know, politics flows downstream from culture.
Right now. Yeah. I think that's, I don't think people understand that it's the same spirit behind communism. It's behind globalism, it's the same spirit. So in the spiritual, as Christians, we should be fighting against that spirit, right? We should be contending against that spirit. We should be resisting that spirit. But it's it manifests in all these different ways, and I think that's where people get confused. Look, instead of talking about necessarily what the enemy's doing, let's talk about what God's doing. Let's talk about Let's talk about, hey, we're for freedom, we're for liberty, and whoever's for freedom and liberty, man, we're going to cheer for them, right? And usually it's not leaders, right? That's kind of how I like to take a look at this.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a great segue into what I really want to talk about.
Perfect.
And you're exactly right, because, you know, our future rests in our children. And one of the things that in 2014, when I had just finished working on the Jesse Young campaign, and I kind of was like, what do I want to do? You know, I love the arts. I love politics. Well, love is a strong word. Maybe I tolerate it because I care about how it affects our lives. And so I just was praying about it, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden this idea, I feel like it was just like downloaded into my brain. And it was a little bit scary because it was kind of big. And I thought, how am I going to do this? I don't know people. And I, that seems like it would cost a lot of money to do. Basically, it's a nonprofit that will use the arts, business, and law to impact our culture, because there is no organization in Washington State that is doing this. We want to train our kids, but I mean, let's be honest. What kid wants to sit in there and get a lecture about the Constitution? Boring. But what if we have a contest for them where they can write a song or a movie or a film or a video game based on a theme we give them? And then they win prizes and internships and mentoring and scholarships. And that is where they get the training in creating the product. Because like I said, like Breitbart said, politics flows downstream from culture. We have to take the culture back. And Christians and conservatives have largely been absent from that sphere. And I think that we really need to offer our kids something to do in those spheres. You know, a lot of times, we are so worried about getting a job and taking care of our family that we don't realize that Hollywood or Hollyweird is taking over our culture, and it's creating a disaster in the minds of our kids, in the culture in general. And we have to take that back. And I'm seeing some people are stepping up. Daily Wire is creating films. There's a few, PragerU is doing some children's books and programming, and that's great. But what my organization will be doing is offering scholarships, contests, internships, mentoring to kids, junior high, high school, and college age, that will get them into that business.
That is so fantastic. And that's really what a lot of what we have to do is go for the next generation, make sure that we're training them up the way they should go, and really walking alongside them, because, you know,
exactly.
they've been so smashed and put down, and we need to really encourage them. Carrie French, I want you, if you could, talk in the last 5 minutes that we have left. Where can people go to get more information? But also, how can people be effective in their involvement in pushing back against the globalists and all the things that we're facing here in Washington State? How can we be effective in that? Because it's one thing to get, like, go do stuff, but a lot of times we do stuff and it's not effective. How do we be effective?
Right. Well, I think the first thing to do is pray about where God wants you to be. And it might be somewhere that you never thought before, but also figure out what it is that you have a passion for. If it's kids, get involved in the school board. If it's the arts, you know, give me a call. If it's, you know, local politics, city hall, whatever. Start there. Make relationships with people, and get involved in the party. And when I say the party, I'm hoping Republican Party, but I mean Libertarian's good too. And you know, I think the Democrats have been taken over by the communists, so I wouldn't recommend them at all. But get involved at your local level in an area that you have a passion for, because a lot of times, when you get into an area that you really care about, you will stay. And one thing I will say is, and this is, you know, conservatives get involved for a little bit and then they get tired of the craziness and the garbage and they quit. And that's why when we quit, we lose. Mm-hmm. So you have to be in for the long haul, because, you know, Jefferson said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You know, you don't just say, okay, I did my deed for the day and I'm done, because the left never stops. The enemy never stops, and he's relentless. So we have to stay involved. So get involved, stay involved. You can become a precinct committee officer. You can get involved with your school board. You know, we need help all over the place. So just find what speaks to you and pray about it and get involved.
I love the fact that you're taking an approach that impacts different areas of the culture. I think a lot of times we leave an area of the culture and just say, government is too dirty, we're writing that one off. When actually it's a really dark mission field that needs light shown in there, or
Absolutely.
Business, or the arts or media, all of these things, we need to shine God's
Absolutely.
Light in there.
Absolutely. And you know, that's another thing. People hate getting involved in the government. You know, I worked for the military department for a little bit and had to join a union. I wasn't very happy about that, and I told my union president that I didn't care for the messaging they were giving, because I was conservative and they didn't speak for me. But we do need conservatives involved in union leadership, in the unions, in government. I mean, imagine if we had more conservatives working in, like, the elections department. Do you think there'd be as much cheating as there is?
Right.
You know, there's more eyeballs on that. So get involved wherever you can, whatever speaks to you. And if anyone ever needs any help, you can text me or call me. If I don't answer right away, leave a message. My number is 253-951-3721. I want to see us win. I want to see us turn back the tide of this evil. And I will never quit until I'm dead.
Plug a website and also the phone number one more time.
Yes, my phone number is 253-951-3721. Our website right now is down for maintenance. We are working on some things, but it will be reachoutnorthwest.org. So if someone tries to go to it now, it's not up. So, but be patient with us. We are volunteers trying to get this up and running. And when we do, I would love to come back and say, hey, we're, you know, doing this contest or doing that. And, you know, tell your kids, involve them, you know, produce a song or a movie or whatever the contest is. We'll let you all know. It'll be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. And every time that we've been involved in rallies and different things together, it's always been fun when you're around, Carrie. I just want you to know that.
Well, I'm a fighter, and I always, you know, wondered why God made me that way. But I guess for such a time as this, right?
For such a time as this. Carrie French, Reach Out Northwest, thank you so much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Just love what you're doing. Keep up the fight. We'll have you on again soon.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Good talking with you.
All right. Again, reach out, northwest.org, and she is going to have that website up very, very soon. Again, it's down for some revamping right now, but she is one of the greatest organizers I have ever worked with in the political realm. If you have never heard Carrie French's name before, you have now. Remember it. She's going to be a little bit more in the limelight, I think, especially raising up the next generation for what the battle is. So it's interesting that the media is now deathly afraid that people are going to different sources for their information. And sources like, well, I don't know, Patriot Radio, Church and State, right? We have to become the media, continue to be the media, so that the truth gets out. Because, you know, the media starts attacking you, saying, oh, that corporation doesn't exist, or that website's down, and then you show that they are lying concretely and intentionally. Even though it's really easy stuff to find, they're lying about it. People then begin to say, okay, what else are they lying about? And what happens is they... people want to search for the truth. They want to find it. And as Carrie was saying, things get so confusing when you got the root for Putin crowd, root for Zelensky crowd, when it's more like, hey, why don't we support the people that love freedom and liberty and realize that globalists versus communists, maybe we should have a different side represented, the side that George Washington represented, a free people defending their own land, so that their kids and their grandkids could live in peace and prosperity and freedom. Maybe that's the side that we should be on. And as Christians, we need to be out there in the community, evangelizing, praying for people. We need to be, right now is the time, be spreading the gospel of the kingdom and preparing. I don't think we have a clue of the harvest that is about to happen. I saw what was happening over when refugees were coming from Ukraine into Poland. They were asking for Bibles. They were seeking the Lord. They had not even been preached to. They were seeking the Lord because they had seen the opposite in evil, and they're like, I don't want that for my life. I know God's real. I want to find out more about him. This is the exact time we've been waiting for as Christians to open our arms wide, tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, and love our neighbors in a very, very tangible way, pointing them toward the cross. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.